All right, I am so grateful to be here. Oh, and oh, that song. Thank you so much. I truly have wondered when I was going to again be blessed to be in your presence and again be blessed to hear, oh, how God moves through you. I am so grateful. I was saying to Timothy when we were stuck in traffic, I said, usually the Use Me song at the beginning of the service is my preparation for speaking. That's about all I do is call Zoe and give her a title, and then I cease to think about anything. And then we get to Use Me, and I sing it sincerely and trust that that's what's going to fill me up so that I will have something to come through me. So I don't need to mourn having missed Use Me. You prepped me so much. And I have to tell you that that song brought my father close to my heart. One of my father's favorite mantras was, God can do anything but fail. God can do anything but fail. It's the only thing that the Creator is incapable of doing is failing to bring into our lives exactly what will work for us to awaken us. God cannot fail to place us in precisely the right place at the right time, with the right people and experiences that are designed to awaken us. Sometimes we think that the clear indication that God has placed us in the right place at the right time with the right people are when we're in times and places with people where everything is going our way, where everyone seems to love us, where everyone seems to honor us, where everything is hunky-dory, and we go, wow, yes, clearly God has placed me here. And sometimes in the moments of our lives where we're going through it, where we're going through a storm, we're going through perhaps the dissolving or the complete restructuring of a relationship, and we don't want it restructured. We want to keep it the way it's been. We don't want to say goodbye. Sometimes we have a place of employment that we really, really love, and we see ourselves being there until we retire, only to discover one day that the place is going out of business or has lost its funding. Sometimes we believe that it's clear that God is not capable of failing when we're in abundant health, when we've got a pep in our step, and we're whistling a happy tune. And we feel that this is the evidence that God is with me, this is the evidence that God is moving through me, and this is the evidence that God cares. But when we're losing something, apparently, that we would like to keep, or if we're keeping something we would like to lose, it appears to us that God is failing to give us what nurtures us. I have said that in many a sanctuary, in many a gathering, there is one person sitting there truly believing that the key to their happiness will be when God arrives on the scene with their significant other. And they're sitting next to someone who is waiting for God to show up in their life, showing that God cares by getting rid of their significant other. So all of us have different reasons, different things that we seem to be waiting for that will finally give us our opportunity to dance a happy dance. But I like to remind Carlos, and I choose to remind you, that God is not failing when I am on the mountaintop, and God is not failing when I'm in the valley of the shadow. God is always there, always encouraging me to reach inside for that power that is within me, that is greater than any encounter I will ever encounter in my surround. When I find myself feeling like I need somebody or something or some experience in order to sing a song of praise, there is a whisper in my ear that reminds me, just as you are, just as it is, just as they are, is your call for praise. Praise regardless of what is going on. Praise because God knows more than you know about what you need. What we need is to constantly call upon that inner strength, that inner creativity, and that inner power to choose to decide what things will be for us. In the Genesis story, it is recorded that Adam was given the power to name what was not named previously, and he was given the power to name all the animals. And we know that they weren't speaking English in those days, but in my Sunday school class, the Sunday school teacher said, the reason why a donkey is called a donkey is because Adam named it that. You don't call a cat a donkey because Adam named a cat a cat. And this power to name, we came into a field where most everything was already named and had very little opportunity to name people, places, animals, even things. They've already been given a name. So how we exercise this power is to decide what name I will give me and what name I will give you. I've had people in my life, and I've been the person in other people's lives, where I gave them a name, friend, accountable person, trustworthy companion. And then something occurred in the experience that caused me to take that name away from them and to rename them. Ex-friend, used to be accountable, no good, full of bull. I renamed them. And it's not that they have changed, it's that an experience occurred that I chose to use to change the name from something that pleases me into an attack. Some of us think that we can be blessing or cursing or on neutral with ourselves and other people. And this is impossible, according to my dad. My dad said that you are always either blessing or cursing yourself, other people, or the very experience of life, or the almighty creator of life and life experience. And I said, no, Daddy, sometimes with people, it's not that I'm blessing them, and it's not that I'm cursing them. I'm just not doing anything to them. And my dad said, Carly, to withhold a blessing is a curse. And sometimes we want to believe that we can be on neutral. The mind never sleeps and never stops creating. And we never stop naming. Naming people, naming experience, naming events. And many, many times when we are not blessing, we feel that we are not cursing. But according to my daddy, not to bless is to curse. I have been thinking a lot with everything that's going on in the world. I am constantly around people who are blowing my mind with having as big a raging war in their own hearts and minds than what is going on in Israel. And a lot of them have that raging mind, raging thoughts, raging anger, according to them, because of what's going on in the Middle East. But I have said to me and to others many times, if there is peace in the Middle East and no peace in your mind, what good does that do you? Because your mind and heart is where you live. I voted for the president. I've written a couple of letters to the president. I prayed that the president would do what Carlos would like him to do. But one thing the inner voice says to me, don't forget that you have very little influence over what the president of this country chooses to do. You can write your letters. You can make a phone call to a representative. You can pray. But let's face it, Carlos, you have very little influence over how the president of the country presides over the nation. However, you have full influence over how you preside over your own country, of people at your church, people at your workplace, people in your neighborhood, your lover, your ex-lover, your husband, your ex-husband, your wife, your ex-wife. There you have full authority to preside with all power over what is occurring and what you are choosing. You can write a letter to the governor of your state. And when the ballots come out, you can vote for the one you want. But writing your letters and making your calls, please don't be deceived into believing that you have a whole lot of authority over what the governor of your state will choose to do. That's been proven to you time and time again. Rather than to get rattled about that, use it as a reminder to remind you of what you do have absolute authority to govern, which is the state of your own mind and the state of your own heart. I have prayed many prayers and been a part of many healing services and sent out Reiki to the Middle East, praying for peace with the state of Israel and the potential state of Palestine. But let me tell you one thing. When something happens and I get a news flash and breaking news comes on, it behooves me to pause and go, how is this affecting the state that you have authority over? How is this affecting the state of your mind, the state of your heart, the state of your faith? Because that's where, bro, you are the governor. So whatever the president does, whatever the governor does, whatever other states are doing, what are you doing, Carlos Wayne? I got to tell you that there have been some times where I have pretended that what was going on out there caused me to take on what's going on in here. And it is never the case. It's something we try to get away from. We try to get away with this belief that I would be okay if all of that was okay. And as we've said before, I think it was probably 35 at least years ago that I heard Marianne Williamson say that when your heart is closing up, when it's becoming bitter, when your mind is becoming filled with rage, you should get that what is happening to you is that you are sinking. You are sinking out of the light and into a field of inner darkness. And you're sinking just like the Titanic. But to try to believe that manipulating other people, manipulating circumstances, manipulating your outer field so that you can rise from sinking and enter again into the light, Marianne Williamson said, that's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, believing that will stop it from sinking. It's a waste of time. It serves no purpose. So when things are going on and it bends me out of shape and it cramps my style, let me never get away with the idea that I can't help but be brought down by the news. Sure you can, but it takes vigilance. The choice to be at peace is one you can't go to sleep on, and neither can I. We have to notice every time we begin to dip, every moment we begin to sink, and we have to remember what the Pentecostal church song said every Sunday when I was a kid. If heaven is here, and I ain't in it, it ain't nobody's fault but mine. We can be at peace in the middle of a field of war. This is in truth what we are called to do. It has been spoken of you that you are the light of the world. What good is a light if it does not enter into a field of apparent darkness? The light completely surrounded by the light cannot know itself. It cannot shine. It cannot bring illumination. But take a little candle, a birthday candle, in a fully lit room and hold it and see that it doesn't appear to illuminate a doggone thing. But hit the light switch off on a dark night with your curtains closed, and that same little birthday candle gives you so much illumination that you can walk around the room without stumbling or falling or bumping into anything. You would never, ever have known that one little birthday candle could give such light had it not been surrounded in a field of darkness. I'm grateful to live in Massachusetts, in the country, where there is nothing to block our view of the night sky. And I go out on my deck or go out into the yard and I look at the stars every night I remember to. And the stars, if I go out before it gets fully dark, they're still there, but I have to squint to see them. When it gets fully dark, though, those puppies are blazing. I don't have to squint. They're in my face because they are surrounded by darkness. If you are the light of the world, which I believe you are, why would you get bent out of shape when you enter into any field of apparent darkness? That's where you're intended to shine the most. That's where I am intended to shine the most. I can pray that all of my days will be exactly what I want them to be. I can pray that I will always be in maximum health and vitality. I can pray that everybody I love and like loves and likes me, and that the people who don't care for me disappear. But the universe will say, this is a prayer that must go unanswered. How will you know you are the light unless you encounter a world that is a mix? Every single one of us is a mix. I counseled a friend of ours recently, and I was telling him that one of the assignments I wanted to give him was to practice knowing that he is at one with everyone. And he let me know right quick, I will acknowledge that I am one with the people I respect, look up to, and adore. But if you're trying to get me to claim my oneness with some of the a-holes I run into, I'm not going to do it. And I said, so if you don't do it, you will never be whole. Whole is whole. And whole is the state of holiness. And holiness is a state of peace. And a state of peace is where we understand there is nothing missing, there is nothing broken. All there is my opportunity to be glad. I'm still riding my roller coaster in the wake of the passing on of my sister Crystal, who, as I told you, is like my twin. I've gone to war a few times in my mind, I must tell you, because I have a number of people in my world who are demonstrating such impatience about me still being in process. They want their old Carly back. They want the happy camper skipping around, the one who tells all the jokes, the one who dances like a clown at every party, the one that shows up at every event. They miss the twinkle in my eye that they used to see, and they are waiting like a horse for the gate to come to go up so that Carly can come back. And I got to tell you, a couple of people, well, actually there was a small group of people, said that they wanted to treat me to lunch recently. They didn't want to treat me to lunch. They wanted to have an intervention with me. And what they wanted to tell me is, it's been 2.5 months now. We think you should be over this. We miss you so much. And I went, I miss me too. You think I don't miss the twinkle in my eye when I look in the mirror? You think I don't miss the pep in my step? You think I don't miss the daily plug-in to the joy that me and my sister's relationship brought me? It's okay that you miss me. I miss me. But don't you hold your breath waiting for me to get over it so I can get back to you. Because what I've decided in this moment is when I'm over it, I'm not getting back to you. I'm not. You have shown me something. You have shown me that you can watch me lose my sister and still be all about what you want from me. So I've gone to war. In words, I went, I miss me too. And I followed it with, and when I'm over it, I'm not rushing back to you. That was a very, very polite interpretation of what I was saying in the quiet rage of my mind. Child, if people are dropping bombs on somebody somewhere else, let me tell you, mentally, emotionally, I bombed the crap out of those people. And then I went, okay, get back on the bar. Get back in the garden. Don't you stay out there rolling your sleeves up, waiting for the next person to say something, because now, baby, they done got me started. I'm all revved up now, Jack. I want somebody to come up to me telling me, don't you think you've been mourning too long? Oh, honey, wait. Let me just pre-think some stuff. I told you before that I've had times where I was standing before a judge and I was claiming to the judge and to the jury that I had disappeared somebody through an act of temporary insanity preceded by months of planning. Thinking it out in detail. Thank God I've never actually followed through, but I have done the thinking it through in detail part. Not to disappear them, but to hurt them bad. And not physically, their feelings. And then an awakening fell upon me and burst my heart chakra wide open. And I remembered that every energy I put out for any good reason gets multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and returned to me. All the energy I extend is riding on a boomerang. It may slap them upside the head, but it's gonna come back and knock me out. Because what I put out, remember, just enough to nick him on the head, gets multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And next week, I'm wondering, where did this flu come from that knocked me off my feet? And why is my back hurting? And where did my peace go? Waging peace begins in my mind and in my heart. There's a scripture, a psalm, which is a song in the ancient scriptures, that speaks of a longed-for day, a hopeful moment, where every one of us, beneath our vine and our fig tree, will live in peace and unafraid. Gives me goosebumps to think that that is a possibility, that every one of us beneath our vine and our fig tree will live in peace and unafraid. It goes on to say that at some point when we are tired of warring, sick and tired of being sick and tired, we will at long last turn our swords into plowshares. Turn what energy is meant to kill and destroy into an energy mechanism that is designed to grow life-giving food and beautiful flowers and healing herbs. It's all about me and nobody else but me as far as my life is concerned. That title? What's my title? I know Hemingway wrote it. A Farewell to Arms. Wow. Next time I catch myself hoping and praying, trusting, believing, affirming, sending out Reiki, doing magnified healing, smudging in the direction of the Middle East, blowing through a crystal toward the Middle East, that peace might abide there finally so I can get some sleep. Let me turn that crystal back on me. Let me smudge me. Let me pray that Carlos Wayne Anderson will not be willing to drop the bomb on other people or on himself or on the creator of life. Let me turn my sword into a plowshare. I walked into my little neighborhood store. It's called the Village Store. I live in a little village. It's just one little store, smaller than this stage by a long shot. And I walked in there, and the gentleman there is a born-again Christian. And he approached me at the counter with glee. And he said, "Did you see the so-and-so show? One of the children of one of the Hamas leaders has come to the United States and is now a born-again Christian. And he says that Israel should bomb the Palestinians back into the Stone Age." And this born-again Christian has so much glee and so much joy. And I look him in the eyes and go, "I'm not the person to preach this sermon to. I'm praying for peace for everybody. I don't know what caused you to lay that on me, but don't lay it on me anymore. I am not wanting anybody to bomb anybody. I am not wanting anybody to suppress anybody. I am not wanting anybody to be the overseer of anybody. I want equality and peace and goodwill toward everyone." But once more, I have very little authority over what anybody other than me is going to do about bringing peace to planet Earth. But all of the authority in heaven and in earth has been given me to choose peace, to teach peace, that I might learn it. I say farewell. Thank you for listening.
Carlos, thank you for showing up today exactly as you are, where you are, to share the truth with everyone here. Where you are is absolutely perfect. And we are blessed. In spite of anything that might be going on or appearing, we're blessed. Do you know that? We are so blessed. You are so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. And even if that is challenging to know right now, just be willing. And let's share that truth together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
As you take this now moment to breathe and notice your breath, and feel the gratitude for life itself. As we move into this time, take inventory, allow your chair to support you. And from the top of your head, as you continue to breathe deeply, deep cleansing breath, and move from your face and down to your neck and your shoulders. And if you feel any tension anywhere, breathe with intention into that area and allow it to relax and move into your back and to your hips and into your thighs, and continue to allow that freeing, cleansing, revitalizing breath to flow in and out, and give thanks for the power and the presence of the living God that dwells in every cell of your being, renewing and refreshing with every breath. And feel the gratitude for the opportunity to witness and to hear the reminders that remind us today that we are fully equipped with everything we could ever require to continue to build, continue to create, co-create with spirit that lives within the life that we desire, that we are blessed with, filled with all the faith that is required to move through, to walk through, to journey through any challenge that is presented to us. We have the blessing of the ability to choose to see a challenge as an opportunity to live the truth as an opportunity to put truth principles to work in our lives. Our principles work when we choose to work them. We have been given the gift, the ability to choose, the gift of free will, the gift to choose to exercise our faith from the perspective of the unlimited possibility that is there for us, the unlimited substance that we can use in each of our own creative ways to create, to speak life in a field of darkness, to speak life in a field of doubt, to speak life and abundance in what looks like, what appears to be, a field of lack. We can choose to know that that invisible substance that is always ever present, the whole power and presence and spirit of the Creator, always available to us, to choose to utilize, to speak life. We can choose to turn our faith from what looks like belief in lack and limitation to pivot and turn our direction, our intention, to turn our inner eye into knowing that faith is coming from the inside out, that our faith is taking its cues from the perfect spirit that lives in us, dwells in us, expresses through us as light, as love, as the divine ideas of abundance, of peace, plenty, of joy, of creativity, of divine right seeing and right judgment. Those choices are always ours. And as we prepare to take a moment into the silence, we reflect on what is the desire of your heart in this now moment. What is the choice that you are willing to make that allows you to speak life into what looks lifeless and to speak love where it looks barren? As we breathe, knowing that we are fully supported by a loving universe, and we breathe in love and peace and knowing, and breathe out doubt and fear. As we move into the silence and let spirit love you. As we take a breath and breathe out, we know that in a twinkling of an eye, we can take on a new thought. In the twinkling of an eye, we can be willing to be willing to let go of what no longer serves us. In the twinkling of an eye, we can know that we stand on a firm foundation and that there is no thing that can keep us from the good that is ours, that there is no mountain that is too big to move, that there is no valley that is too low for us to rise out of and know that we are love, that we are worthy, that we have all that we require to move forward and begin again. And as we take a moment and bring ourselves back to this space, this sacred space that we have collectively created together, that in this here and now, we remember that there is only one power and one presence in the universe expressing in and living through us our lives, God the Good. And we are so grateful for this truth. We say thank you, thank you, thank you, and so it is.